Let's begin. So we are in Perek Daled, and up until now we've talked about Barak, and we've talked about Devorah, their relationship, and the role that each of them played in the story. So we talk about Barak's role as the general, Devorah's role as the prophet, and the significance of having a prophet involved in the battle. We talked last week at length about the role of the miracles that played out in this battle, and the significance that that took on. Today I want to address or begin to discuss the role of Ya'el. Now Ya'el's story begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph and then skips. So we have to do this in pieces. Because Ya'el, who's sort of this secondary figure who kills the general, kills Sisera, her story begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph with the relationship between her between Chever and Yavin. So let's start there. Everybody with me? The Chever HaKeni Nifrad Mikain Mibnei Chovav Choten Moshe Vayet Ohalo Ad Elon B'Tza'ananim Asher Et Kedesh. This is at the beginning of the story where they're just beginning, the forces are beginning to gather and we're being introduced to the different personalities. We have Barak, we have Devorah, and then we have Chever HaKeni. Chever HaKeni is introduced at the beginning only because in the end, when Sisera runs, he runs into the tent of Chever HaKeni because of the relationship between them. Take a look in Pasuk Yud Zayin. That's okay. You. Pasuk Yud Zayin, 17. V'sisra nas baraglav el ol Ya'el eshet Chever HaKeni. Sisra, when he ran by foot straight into the tent of Ya'el, Mrs. Chever HaKeni, ki shalom ben Yavin melech Hatzor uven bet Chever HaKeni. Because there was some kind of peace alliance between the house of Chever and the house of Yavin melech Hatzor. In that context, these two psukim are complementary. They go together. Pasuk Yud Aleph sets the context, Chever HaKeni, and who he is, his separation from the rest, Nifrad Mikayin, his separation from Kayin, whatever that means. He sort of Chever HaKeni separates himself from the people of Kayin, from the descendants of Chovav, father-in-law of Moshe, Vayet O'alo Ad Elon B'Tza'ananim Asher Et Kedesh, and pitched his tent in Elon Tza'ananim, which is all the way near Kedesh. That's the verse in Yud Aleph. Tells us who Chever is. It doesn't tell us a lot of information. It's really this story of who Chever is that I wanted to explore today.
So he was confused.
Yeah. So am I, so that's okay.
Moshe's father-in-law is Yitro.
Oh, so let's deal with, there's a few issues. First of all is the identification of Choten Moshe. Who is Choten Moshe? Yitro is Moshe's father-in-law. Reuel is Moshe's father-in-law. Chever is Moshe's father-in-law. Chovav is Moshe's father-in-law. How many other names does he go? Moshe only has one wife, so we have a dilemma. So Rashi says that, according to a Medrash, that Yitro had seven names. And then in various places in Chumash, he's referred to by different names. Yeter, Yitro, Reuel, Chovav, Chever. There's two more I don't recall.
Why would someone have seven names?
And why would somebody have seven names is a good question. Usually when somebody had multiple names, it is a reflection, at least midrashically, of some kind of different ways of looking at the same person. You know, different perspectives or personalities or aspects of the personality. And certainly the fact that Choten means father-in-law, and he's constantly referred to as Choten Moshe, would indicate that this is the case. Back in Shemot, when we are first introduced to him, it's also somewhat confusing. If you take a look, I don't know if we always if we notice the confusion because we just assume we have a certain preconceived idea of who the personalities must be, and we kind of fit our box accordingly. But if we look at Perek in Shemot, Perek Bet. Well, let's do this in such a way that we'll be even more confused for a moment. Let's start at the beginning of Perek Gimel.
Begin. Shemot?
Yep. Umoshe haya ro'e et tzon Yitro chotno, Kohen Midian. Moshe was the shepherd of the flock of Yitro chotno, his father-in-law, Kohen Midian, who brought his, and then the rest of chapter 3 has to do with the burning bush. Right, so from that context, Yitro is, right, Moshe's father-in-law is
Yitro.
He's his father-in-law because he's married to Zipporah, Yitro's daughter. Alright, so let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to Perek Bet. Moshe runs away, and he goes running to the land of Midian, correct? Verse Pasuk Tet Zayin, 16. Ulechohen Midian sheva banot. Kohen Midian has seven daughters. Who's Kohen Midian?
We just said
as Yitro, right? You sure? It's amazing what kind of magic tricks you can pull out when you look at text. Vatavona vatidlena vatumalena etarehatim hashkot tzon avihem. They came and they brought their pitchers of water to fill their pitchers to feed their flock. Vayavo haroim vayigarashum. The shepherds came and chased them away. Vayakom Moshe v'yoshi'an v'yashket tzonam. Moshe came and saved them and gave their flock to drink. Vatavona el Ru'u'el avihen. So they came to Ru'u'el, their father, and said, why have you, who said to them, Vayomer madua mihartem bo hayom, why have you come so quickly? Vatamarna ish mitzni tzilanu miyad ra'im. And they said, oh, because an Egyptian saved us from the hands of the shepherds. And he gave us to drink. It's exact reversal of, it's a combination of the story of Yaakov by the well and Rivka, combination in reverse. Vayomer el bunatav ayo, lama ze azavtena ta'ish kirena lo v'yocha lachem. Where is he? What are you leaving there for? Vayoel Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish. Moshe therefore sat, dwelt with the man. Vayten et Zipporah bito l'Moshe, who gave Zipporah his daughter to Moshe. So who is Zipporah's father? Reuel. I just thought you said he was Yitro. And hence the problem begins. So I have Reuel, I have Yitro. Reuel's daughter marries Moshe. Yitro is called Moshe's father-in-law. Life gets even more interesting in Parshat Yitro. Beginning of Parshat Yitro, Pasuk Yudchet. Perek Yudchet. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian Choten Moshe et Kol Asher Asar Lekim L'Moshe L'Yisrael Amok Yatzi Hashem Et Yisrael Mitzrayim. Yitro heard all of that. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, priest of Midian, heard all that God had done for Israel and for Moshe and for Bnei Yisrael. And he came, Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe et Tzipporah Eshet Moshe. Yitro came and brought Zipporah, Moshe's wife, after he had sent her back to Midian, and her two sons. And Pasuk Hey again, Vayvo Yitro Choten Moshe. Again, Yitro is always referred to as Moshe's father-in-law. The irony of this Pasuk, in Pasuk Bet, is Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe et Zipporah Eshet Moshe. What's the irony there? Moshe Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, took Tzipporah, Moshe's wife, and brought her with, together with the children, to see Moshe.
Isn't that his daughter?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting oddity, right? It's his daughter, so I mean, I guess her, she's now Mrs. Moshe, so that's a bigger significance at this point in her life than being Yitro's daughter, but nonetheless, it's an oddity, needs to be...
But didn't we know already that she was Moshe's wife?
Yeah, but he had sent her back, etc. That's the whole point of it. You know, the whole significance here is that... Then... also take a look at the end of this parak. This is the pre-Matan Torah. This is Perak Yivchad. Matan Torah is Perak Chaf. So this is pre-Matan Torah. After the whole dialogue about the judgment and the system, the judicial system, and whether Moshe should judge by himself, Moshe listens to his father-in-law's advice, and he sets up a hierarchy of courts. Pasuk of Zayin, Vayishalach Moshe et chotno, Vayelech lo el arzo. Yitro, Moshe sent his father-in-law back to his land, sends him home. So there's a whole debate in the Mefarshim whether or not Yitro stayed for Matan Torah. So some opinions say that Yitro came to convert, so he obviously stayed for Matan Torah. But then Pasuk says that Moshe sent him home.
That means to Midian.
To Midian. He came, he brought Tzipporah, thank you very much, father-in-law, you brought me Tzipporah, and goodbye, this is for us, not for you. So, a huge debate as to what happened here. Moshe sends Yitro home. Now, that debate gets only more complicated. Because in this week's parasha, Parashat Balotcha, and as I mentioned last night, Parashat Balotcha is a transitional moment because after a year sitting around Mount Sinai, they're finally beginning the journey away from Mount Sinai towards the land of Israel. And in Perek Yud, now we're really going to confuse everybody
because
we're not confused enough. Perek Yud, Pasuk Chavtet. Vayomer Moshe. So far we've had Yitro Choten Moshe. We had Reuel, who gave his daughter to Moshe's hand in marriage. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, who comes with Tzipporah, Moshe's wife, and Moshe sends Yitro's father-in-law home before Matan Torah. And now, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chavtet. Everybody have it? Bamidbar?
Uh-huh.
You have it, Medina?
No, I was just browsing.
Oh, okay. This is really, you got to see this with your eyes. Otherwise, it's going to be Yud Chavtet. Perek Yud Pasuk Chavtet. Vayomer Moshe Lechovav Ben Reuel Hamidyani Choten Moshe.
Now he's
Chovav, son of Reuel.
So this is his brother-in-law, ostensibly.
Choten Moshe. Whom Yitro, Moshe has already sent home.
So how is he
here? Right? Moshe already sent him home back in Perek Yilchet of Shemot. So how is Moshe talking to him? So Moshe says to Chovav ben Reuel Amidyani, Choten Moshe. What does he say to him? He says, Nosim anachnu al amakom asher amar Hashem oto eten lachem. We are going to that land that God has promised to give us. L'chai tanev etanu lach. Why don't you come with us? It'll be good for you. Ki Hashem diber tovo Yisrael. God spoke good for Israel. God's promised us good things. Vayomer lav Chovav ben Reuel says to Moshe, Lo alech, I'm not going. Ki im el arzi ve'el moladti elech. I'm going home. To my land, to my people.
Well, then he should have left already then.
So, at the end of Shemot, in Shemot Perek Yilchet, you already sent him home. Vayomer, one second. Vayomer, al na tazov otanu. Moshe says, no, don't. Go, don't leave us. Ki al ken yadata chanotenu b'midbar. You know our dwelling in the desert. Vayomer al na tazov otanu. Ki al ken yadata chanotenu b'midbar. Vahita lanu le'enayim. Don't leave us. You know our sojourn in the desert. You are, you can be our eyes. You can be our guide in the desert. The good that God has promised us, we'll give to you. What good has God has promised us? The land of Israel. So we'll promise you land. And I'll show you which land he gives them. What's Yitro's answer? They travel from the mountain of God and they travel a journey of 3 days. In the context here, there's no answer. Chovav ben Reuel does not answer. Moshe has the last word. We never know what happens. Enter a huge debate in the Mefarshim as to A, what did he answer? What did he do? Who is Moshe talking to here versus who was he talking to at the end of Perek Yudchet of Shemot when he sent them home? Moshe sent him. And who is Chovav ben Reuel Choten Moshe? Yitro Choten Moshe? Reuel, whose daughter marries Moshe? So, enter Rashi, who says Yitro had seven names. Because the only real resolution of this problem is to assume that he's constantly referring to the same person. What do I do with the fact that he sends him home twice? That's not so terrible. So Rashi says he went home and he came back.
Why is the assumption that Chovav ben Reuel is the same as Reuel?
Oh, so the Ramban has a slightly modified position, which is that Yitro and Chovav are all the same person. Reuel is maybe a different person. Ben Ezra has a third opinion that says Reuel is one person, Chovav is one person, Yitro is one person. And whether Yitro and Chovav is the same person is debatable. But in the end, when it says that Reuel gave his daughter Tzipporah over to Moshe as a wife, that's referring to his granddaughter. And in Tanakh, children and grandchildren are always interchangeable. Right? B'nei banim, harayim, kibanim. We have many places in Tanakh where lineage skips a generation, or two generations, or three generations, and a ben is really a descendant of. So, in that context, Reuel is the patriarch. He's the elder statesman of the household. When the daughters come back, he's certainly the one who's going to be the leader of the decision. But in fact, it is Yitro, his son, whose daughter Moshe marries, one possibility. Another possibility is that Yitro is not Moshe's father-in-law, but Moshe's brother-in-law. Because we assume the word choten means brother-in-law, it means father-in-law, but the word choten means somebody related by marriage. The word literally means somebody related by marriage.
On the husband's side. Or
either.
Any side.
Either. In modern Hebrew, Choten is a father-in-law from either side.
Okay.
Right? In Yiddish, it's a machutin, but it's... Right. Well, actually, machutin is
it's the same word, really.
Machutin comes from the same root, but machutin is the two parents...
Right.
The two fathers are considered mechutanim. There's no equivalent in the English language. No equivalent in the English language. But but a choten and a chatan is the son-in-law.
Right.
Kala is a daughter-in-law, chatan is the son-in-law, and choten would be the father-in-law or possibly the brother-in-law, maybe. So, in the end, I have a confusion. Because I have multiple verses that describe the relationship to Moshe as a choten, attributed to Yitro, Chovav, and Chovav ben Reuel. And Reuel.
Even if it's a brother-in-law, that's a lot of people.
So it's either a father, the family lineage is either Reuel is the father, Yitro is a son, Tzipporah is a granddaughter, Chovav would be either
Yitro himself,
or Yitro's brother-in-law. Right. In which case it would be Yitro's brother.
Right.
Or Reuel has or Reuel is the father, and Yitro and Chovav are alternative, or Yitro is an alternative name for Reuel, and Chovav could be a brother, Or Chovav could be Yitro, and Reuel could be the father. Either way, we have a confusing picture. I'm sure Tzipora had it straight. I'm sure Moshe had it straight, too. We are confused. But the Mefarshim debate this issue. This is a major issue. Ramban, the lengthy Ramban and Shemot about it. How many times does Yitro come and go? Is it the same person here as it is in Shemot? If it's the same person, he has to have come and gone.
Well, that's not so strange to come and go.
Right, except that there's no reference to it.
Right.
Right. And in
gone and come.
Gone, come, gone home, come back.
Right.
Right? And what brought up? And then Moshe wants him to come with him to the land of Israel, and he says, no, I'm going back again.
Right. And does he?
Right. And does he? Not clear. So, so the Ramban says that the verse at the end of Shemot Yudchet, where Moshe sends him home, is actually this story. It's just chronologically out of place. And in fact, he does go home. Okay. Only problem with the fact that he does go home is that when we get to Sefer Yehoshua or Sefer Shoftim, he's back.
So when did he come back?
Right. So the simplest reading is that Chovav, whoever Chovav is, whether he's Yitro or he's Yitro's brother, whoever Chovav is, stays with him. Whether Yitro is a separate person and Yitro goes home or not, I couldn't tell you. But Chovav, I can tell you, certainly does stay with Bnei Yisrael. And we know that from a number of places. We know that from Sefer Yehoshua. We know from Sefer Shoftim. I'll show you a couple of places where we see...
We're not youngsters anymore.
Excuse me?
These people are not youngsters anymore.
Well, the question is whether it's them or the descendants.
I don't understand. What would be so terrible if you just considered that he had seven names? A bunch of kids running around with five, six names.
Yeah. You could. Rashi says he has seven names. Same person. And Yitro is Chovav, is Reuel, is not Zipporah, but okay, that's a... But take a look in Yehoshua. Let's take a quick glance and we'll see the story. And I have to remember where it is in Yehoshua because I don't recall offhand. Actually, you know what? I'll show you where it's easy to see it. Take a look at Perek Aleph of Shoftim. Then you'll see it much clearer. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Now that was one of the seven names, right? We had Chovav, Yitro, Yeter, Reuel, Chever, and now we have Keni. Uvnei Keni, Choten Moshe, Alu Meir HaTmarim, Et Bnei Yehuda Midbar Yehuda, Asher Benegav Arad, Vayelech Vayeshev Et Ha'am. Bnei Keni, the descendants of Keni, Choten Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law, Alu me'ir hatmarim. They went up from Ir hatmarim. Ir hatmarim is right. What is Ir hatmarim? We've had this before.
Yericho.
Correct. They went up from Yericho, together with Bnei Yehuda to the area of Midbar Yehuda, which is in the south, and they went vayelach vayeshev et ha'am. They went and settled with the people. So here I have Mibnei Keni Choten Moshe. The descendants of Keni, the children of Keni, Moshe's father-in-law. Now that's the answer to your question, whether these people are old. By now we're a generation later. So a generation later is not Yitro,
right,
slash Chever, slash Chovav, slash
generation.
Right,
it's
Keni. It's the children who are called Mibnei Keni. So the simple solution of this is that Bnei Keni here means not the children of Yitro, but the children of the Keni, meaning it's an adjective, not a name. Because It's a description of who they are as a people. Chovav, or as we will see his name, Chever HaKeni, is a descendant of Choten Moshe. Mibnei Chovav Choten Moshe. So this Chovav Choten Moshe, which is another name let's assume for the moment we'll work with Rashi, it's another name for Yitro. This Chovav Choten Moshe has descendants. They are described as of the people known as Keni. In which case, if you go back to our Pasuk, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, yeah, the Chever HaKeni, this Chever, man, by the name of Chever, was descendant of a group of people called the Keni. We'll still have to identify who they are. Nifrad Mikayin, separated himself from Kayin. What is Kayin? Keni means from the people of Kayin. Right? Ruveni, Shimoni, right, from the people of Kayin. So Chever the Keni, Chever the Kayinite, had separated himself from the people of Kayin. Mibnei Chovav Choten Moshe, descendants of Chovav, the father-in-law of Moshe. Vayet Olo ad Ilon Betzananim Asher at Kedesh, and moved his tent to Ilon Betzananim, which is in Kedesh. Meaning, so take a look now at the Radak. We'll try to put this all together.
I have a question about the Hebrew. In mm-hmm. this translation, it says had become separated,
right,
which
had.
Is different.
Past perfect, correct. Had, past perfect. That's what we've said all along. We've said a number of times that the simple past tense, nifrad, is past perfect tense. Right.
So
that's not
so
my issue right now,
so
but that's
that
correct.
So does it mean somebody separated him?
No, no,
or
no.
He
separated himself.
Him.
No,
okay.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
I'm separating
all
him.
Right. It's a specific point in time.
Past perfect is a function, yes.
No,
function
okay,
of time.
But, you know, because it had become separated.
It's not a forced separation. It's not a forced separation. It's not a third-party separation. This is, let's take a look at the Radak.
Or accidental. It was
No, on the contrary.
Okay.
It says Radak. Nifrad. First of all, Rashi, Radak says kamutz, that there's a kamutz there under the resh, not a patach. Grammatical significance of that, for now, I'm going to leave aside. Meaning, Perush, Nifrad Mimidbar Yehuda, Shiyashvu Sham B'nei Keni, separated himself from what? What did he separate himself from? He separated himself, says the Radak, from Midbar Yehuda. How did he get to Midbar Yehuda? Because in Shoftim, Perak Aleph, I just showed you, it says that the descendants of Keni, Choten Moshe, the children of the Keni, who is the father-in-law of Moshe, meaning the children of Chovav HaKeni, father-in-law of Moshe, had come and settled together with Bnei Yehuda in the area of Midbar Yehuda. Sheyashvu sham Bnei Keni kisha'alu me'ir ha'tmarim. When they left the area of Yericho, which is the camp of Israel, they went and settled together in Midbar Yehuda, together with the rest of Bnei Yehuda. Bnei Keni go from Yericho when they enter the land of Israel, together with Moshe, with Shevet Yehuda, and they settle down here in the area of Midbar Yehuda. Then, that's Perek, Shoftim Perek Aleph, which is really part of Sefer Yehoshua. You understand what's going on? Keni is a tribal affiliation. Chovav is Moshe's father-in-law. So, Keni Choten Moshe, Chovav Choten Moshe. They both refer to the same idea, except one's referring to the name of the person, and the other is referring to the tribal affiliation, the Canaanite, not to be confused with Canaanite, right? The Canaanite, father-in-law of Moshe, his descendants came and settled in Midbar Yehuda. Chovav, Choten Moshe, his descendants came and settled in the area of Midbar Yehuda. Comes along Perek Dalet and says that Chever, the Canaanite, separated himself from the rest of the Canaanites who were down in Midbar Yehuda, and had moved himself all the way up to the north into Kedesh. Why? So here it doesn't tell us why, but if I combine that with Pasuk Yud Zayin, which says that there was Shalom ben Yavin Melech Hatzor ben Bet Chever HaKeni, that there was some kind of peace treaty between Chever HaKeni and Yavin Melech Hatzor, would explain why he would have moved himself from the south of the area of Bnei Yehuda all the way up north into the area of Kedesh, which is near Chatzor. So we have an individual who separates himself from the rest of the group of the Keni, and he and his wife.
Why did he separate?
Doesn't say why. I'm assuming it was to make some kind of, at this point I'm going to make that assumption, we may challenge it, but assuming it's to make some kind of alliance with Yavin Melech Chatzor, because that's what the Pasuk says, that there was a Shalom ben Beit Chevra Keniu ven Yavin Melech Chatzor. So I'm assuming it's in order to make some sort of a peace treaty up there with Yavin Melech Chatzor. This is old news, this is not new news, this isn't happening now, this is background information. Nifrat had separated himself. This is all background information, so I understand how Sisra ends up in the tent of Yael, Mrs. Chever. You follow? Mm-hmm. So the background information is relevant to understand the continuation of the story. The only thing is that what it does, in addition to the story of Yael, which we'll get to, if not today, the next week. But it does give us a window into this world of the Keni. They keep popping up. This group of people called the Keni. They keep popping up. And it's interesting to note how they keep popping up. Both textually and midrashically. Meaning, in the rabbinic literature, they also keep popping up for various reasons. And Chazal has some very interesting perspectives on who they are, what they are, and how they impact Yitro. Because ultimately, all of this comes back to the story of Yitro and who he is, and whether Yitro and Chobav is the same person or brother, it doesn't matter, but the context being the broader issues of the Keni. So I thought I would do an interesting digression and look at this group called the Keni. Because they're constantly referred to as Keni. It's not just Chovav, Mibnei Chovav. It's Mibnei Chovav, the Keni, the Chevra Keni, Nifrad Mi Kayin, Uvnei Keni Choten Moshe, Alumi Irat Marim. There's this constant reference to the identification of Yitro's lineage, or Chovav's lineage, as a part of this group of people called the Keni, or Mibnei Kain. So who are they, and what are they? The first thing that we need to be aware of is that...
Are there other groups that were so special like these people? At this,
I don't know if you'd call them special, but there are certainly...
Well, they have to be more special than others, because they keep coming up.
Lots of people keep coming up. Amalek also keeps coming up.
They're special too.
Right? In other words, nations come up all the time. In Tanakh, nations repeat themselves all the time. Moav is a constant theme from Breshit down to Megillat Rut. That doesn't necessarily make them special. This is history. These are realities. These are peoples that lived at the time, and they operated and Bnei Israel interacted with them. So, of course, they're going to come up because they're constant, they're part of the history of the era.
But weren't they friendlier with Bnei Israel than many of the others, or not?
Some were friendly and some weren't. So depending on the context in which they are raised, some are friendly and some aren't. But Keni is interesting. When we start to look at where Keni pop up, then we'll see patterns. That's exactly it. They are a mystery in the sense that we don't have a lot of history about them. Amalek we know a lot about. Edom we know a lot about. Ammon, Moab we know a lot about. We don't know a lot about Keni, but they keep popping up. And they pop up at various interesting moments. And the question that I wanted to put on the table is there a pattern to the moments that they pop up? So, for example, how many of you have ever heard of a medrash that says that Yitro was a general in the army of Amalek?
Well, that should have been neat.
Whoa.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? There's a whole bunch of midrashim that place Yitro in the oddest places. Oddest places. I'll show you two of them, for example. Then we'll do this.
Why would Moshe have married his daughter? We're supposed to get rid of them. We're supposed to not like them. And then Moshe would marry his daughter.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So take a look, for example, in Shemot Rabbah. So it's the second source on the page. Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard and came, beginning of Parshat Shemot, Parshat Yitro, when he comes to join Bnei Yisrael. So the Medrash begins with the verse in Mishlei. Letz take ufeti ya'arim. The scorner you smite, and the simpleton becomes wise. If you smite the scorner, the simple one learns. Or a similar verse in Mishlei, Ba'anosh letz yechkam peti. When the scorner is punished, the thoughtless is made wise. Who is the scorner and who is the thoughtless that becomes wise, that wisens up? So Chazal link this to Amalek and Yitro. Amalek v'Yitro hayu be'etza im Paro. Medrash says that when Paro sat around the table to determine what to do with Bnei Yisrael and how to enslave Israel, amongst his advisors, says the Medrash, was, actually Chazal have a few people who they put around that table. They put Bilam around that table, they put Eov around that table, and they put Yitro and Amalek around that table. For various reasons, each one for different reasons. So Amalek and Yitro are sitting, hayu be'etza im Paro. They were sitting there in Paro's council when he decided to enslave Israel. However, kishira'a Yitro she'avad the Kadosh Baruch Hu et Amalek min olam hazeh min olam haba. When Yitro saw that God had punished Amalek by denying him both this world and the next world, tohev asa tshuva. He regretted his actions and he did tshuva, he repented, as it says, when it says, kimocham chedzercha Amalek, immediately following the declaration at the end of Parshat B'Shalach, that I will destroy and obliterate Amalek, the next pasuk reads, Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard, and he came. He heard what God was going to do to Amalek, so he decided to join the Jewish people. Amar ein li lelech ela etzel Eloah she Yisrael. To join with Amalek, there's no point. I need to go to Israel. Especially since Amalek is going to be on the losing end of an ongoing eternal battle between God and Israel, between God and Amalek, or between Israel and Amalek, I'm better off with Israel. We have a similar medrash in Medrash Shmuel. Devar Acher, Letz Takeh, when it refers to the phrase, again, same verse in Mishlei, smite the fool, or smite the scornful, Zeh Amalek. Ufeti Yarim, and the simple will become wise, Zeh Yitro. Amar Rabbi Yehuda by Simon, Muchtav Haya Yitro Mi'astatya Shal Amalek. Yitro was a remnant from the generals of the army of Amalek. Yitro was a general in the army of Amalek. The Kevan Shenafal, when Amalek fell in battle in the end of Pashat Bashalach, Bavanitkayer, he came and converted. As it says, Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midyan. Right? In other words, what both of these midrashim are pointing to is juxtaposition of the fact that Yitro comes to join Bnei Yisrael at the beginning of Pashat Yitro, one verse after the destruction of Amalek in Parshat B'Shalach. So the Midrashim point to an association, an alliance between Yitro and Amalek that held true so long as Amalek had the upper hand. But the moment Amalek lost that upper hand, Yitro comes and he converts.
And joins Bnei Yisrael.
Those series of these midrashim. The question is, where did Chazal get this from?
Yeah. This is after Moshe and Zipporah are married. I mean, he's already Moshe's father-in-law, correct?
Assuming that Yitro and Reuel is the same person, yes.
Yeah. So maybe he was midrashim, for an extension.
Midrashim don't have to necessarily reflect a reality, always. But they do have to reflect something. And the question is, what were Chazal pointing to? What was driving? There's no textual connection between the notion that to indicate that Yitro was a general in the army of Amalek, was a captain of Amalek's army. And when he lost the battle, he switched sides. Where did you pull that out of a hat? It's a remarkable statement. Where did that come from? Connect Yitro to Amalek. And think about the significance. You know, Rashi at the beginning of Parshat Yitro says, on the verse, Yitro heard and came, Vayishma Yitro Vayavol. So Rashi asks the question, Mashmu'a Shema Uva. What did Yitro hear that made him come? And Rashi answers, Kriyat Yamsuf Umilchemet Amalek. Splitting of the sea and the battle of Amalek. So we understand that to mean intuitively that he heard the great miracles of Kriyat Yamsuf and he heard about the great miracle of the victory of Amalek. The Medrash has a different answer or a different perspective. These Midrashim point to the fact that he didn't just hear about the battle of Amalek, the failure of Amalek. He was a general in Amalek's army and he lost the battle. So he came and he joined. Where's it coming from? It's remarkable, right?
He wanted to switch sides.
It's a remarkable statement to make about Yitro.
Paro had some advisors.
Advisors in Paro's court. Unbelievable. So I think the answer lies in so many cases with these obscure midrashim. I think the answer lies in the fact that Chazal, as I've said before, Chazal had Tanakh by heart. They had a picture of Tanakh.
How else did they do it?
Which was far broader than we could possibly even imagine in our minds. I try to jump us around a little bit just to give us a sense that all of Tanakh is interconnected, part of my hidden agenda, which is not so hidden. To Chazal, it's all in the back of their hands. It's all one big piece. And I'm quite convinced that Chazal often looked at other places in Tanakh, saw patterns and historical events that they wanted us to connect. And the way they connect them is by placing anachronistically stories together. We've talked about this when we talked about, for example, Avram in the furnaces of Nimrod, right? The famous story of Avram in the fiery furnace of Nimrod in Bavel. Where does Avraham come to the fiery furnace? But the story of the fiery furnace is the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Sefer Daniel, just 1,000 years later. But Chazal borrowed the story and interconnected because there's so many parallels between Avraham's world and the world of Daniel that they wanted to draw that connection. So what's the relationship between Yitro and Amalek? That's what Chazal is connecting, right? Yitro and Amalek. So now, let me show you a couple of references. First of all, let's start with Bamidbar, since we're in Bamidbar. Bamidbar Chof Dalet. Bamidbar Chof Dalet, Pasuk. Well, let's take a look at the end of Chof Dalet, chapter 24. Not quite that far. Let's see. Yeah. The end of the prophecy of Bilam. End of the prophecy of Bilam. Vayar et pasuk yud pasuk chaf. Vayar et Amalek. Bilam set his sights on Amalek. He had a vision about Amalek. Bamidbar perek of Dalet pasuk chaf. Everybody with me? Vayaret Amalek vayisam shalo vayomar. He saw Amalek, lifted up his eyes, and he said his parable. Reshit goyim Amalek. One of the first of nations, Amalek. Achavito deoved. And his future, his destiny, is eternal destruction. Ade oved. Next. Vayar et hakeni. Vayisam mishalo vayimah. He saw the Keni, lifted up his eyes, raised his parable and said, Etan Moshevecha, your dwelling is strong, Esimbasela Kinecha, you place your nest in the rock, Kim Yelva'er Kain, it will be the destruction of Kain, Adama Ashur Tishbeka, and to Ashur you will be taken captive. Okay, the specific prophecy is not my issue, but the juxtaposition is interesting. What's the juxtaposition here? Keni and Amalek. Interesting. Keni and Amalek. It's as if he's like looking around, the nations around, and you see geographically he's going from one region to another. A couple of psukim earlier he talked about Moab and Ammon. He's literally going to geographically around the regions of the neighbors of Eretz Canaan. And he gets to Amalek, and he gets to Kain. Jump to Sefer Shmuel. Who destroyed Amalek? That's a trick question. Who destroyed Amalek? Who specifically? It's a trick question. Why is it a trick question?
Not really.
They're still around.
No, that's not the issue, whether they're still around or not. From a Tanakh perspective, they were pretty much obliterated, but by whom? That's a story relevant to Sefer Shmuel. Who was supposed to destroy Amalek?
Shaul.
Shaul. Who failed to destroy Amalek? Shaul. So who finished the job?
David.
So let's take a look at both battles. Both battles, David and Shaul. Starting with Perek Tetvav.
We're in
Shmuel Aleph. Perek Tetvav. 15.
Fifteen.
Right. Tetvav.
I can't add 5 and 6 and 9.
What are
you asking? Tetvav,
what was that? Oh, that's a good question. Let's start with Pasuk Dalet. Vayishama Shaul et ha'am vayifkedem Shaul gathers together the people, gathers them in an area called Tlaim. Matayim elef ragli v'aser talafim et ish Yehuda. 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 from Yehuda. Vayavo Shaul ad ir Amalek vayarav benach. Shaul came to the capital city of Amalek, or to the city of Amalek, and engaged them in the valley. Vayarav benach. Vayomer Shaul el hakeni. Shaul said to the Keni. How did the Keni end up in the story? What did he say to the Keni? Lechu, suru, redu mitoch Amaleki. Go, get away, separate yourself from the Amalekites. Penos ivchaimo, lest when I destroy Amalek, I destroy you. V'ata asita chesed b'nei Yisrael v'alotam mitzrayim. You were very good to b'nei Yisrael when you left Egypt. Why were you good to b'nei Yisrael when they left Egypt? B'nei Chovav, Choten Moshe. M'nei Keni, because Chovav is a Keni. So Chovav / Yitro / Reuel Kohen Midian is from the tribe of Keni. That relationship stood them in good standing then. So Shaul spares the life of Keni and says to them, warns them, like the Israeli army dropping leaflets before they attack to attack a city, hey, all of you from the tribe of Keni, you may leave. Now, how many Amaleks left with them, I don't know. Interesting question. But notice, where are Keni geographically? I don't know what Tlaim is, but in the context of the story, where would, for this story to make any sense, where would Keni have to be geographically?
In their midst.
With them.
With Amalek. Correct. They're living with Amalek. Now take a look when David engages Amalek, which is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Zayin. David goes with his people and he attacks various indigenous populations, Gshuri, Gizri, and of course, not to leave out Amalek. These nations lived always south of Israel, down towards Egypt. The geographic region of Amalek, south of Israel, all the way down into the area in the Midbar, all the way down to Mitzrayim. That's why Amalek is there when Israel leaves Egypt. That's why David HaMelech, who lives here in the south, is dealing with the Amalekites on a constant basis. Vika David et ha'aretz, and he smote the land, and he destroyed them. Comes to Achish. Achish says to them, where did you go today? Where did you attack today? Vayomer David, pasuk yud, Vayomer David, where did we go? Al Negev Yehuda, we went south to the southern deserts of Yehuda. Val Negev Yachmeli, Val Negev Ha Keni. Every time I turn around, wherever Malek is to be found, there is Keni to be found. So when Chazal go back to the story and they look at Yitro, who is a Keni, it's no surprise that Chazal go out of their way to midrashically link Yitro to Amalek. Because Tanakh as a whole connects the people of Keni to the people of Amalek. Amalek are nomads. They're nomadic tribes. It sounds like these Keni are also nomadic tribes.
So geographically, they're always together.
And yeah, they're always together, at least in this part of history. They're always together geographically. They're living amongst each other. And then I have the story of Yitro. What's the story of Yitro? The story of Yitro is Kohen Midian is a Keni who comes and he joins the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Is he joining the rest of Bnei Yisrael because he is a Ger Tzedek and he's a convert and he wants to come to Kabbalah the Torah and he wants to come to Matan Torah? Right? Could be. Absolutely could be. And before these Midrashim, I certainly wouldn't have any reason to doubt his sincerity and his loyalty. Before you came to Shittit, I don't think anybody would have had a consideration that Yitro would have anything but the most wonderful of intentions. But his relationship is complex. He's coming and going, and nobody knows if he's coming or going.
But he also saw what happened with Amalek. That was really the...
Again, in the pshat of the pasuk, it doesn't say anything about Amalek.
No, but I'm saying...
Chazal had this very obscure medrash. Rashi says he heard about the battle of Amalek and he came running because that's the great miracle. Remember, it's one obscure medrash that paints a very strange picture of Yitro. And I'm not sure, in fact, that Chazal were really talking about Yitro at all.
Who were they talking about?
Oh, cool. Were they talking about was Bnei Keni.
But Yitro was
from Keni, fine, but that's not the issue. I don't think Chazal... Remember, Midrashim are designed to be written in code. So I don't think Chazal needed or wanted to recreate or redefine or reformulate for us who Yitro was. What I think they were trying to do is reformulate for us or formulate a better understanding of who these Keni are. Because it's remarkable to me that on the one hand in Sefer Shoftim we could read that the Bnei Keni, Choten Moshe, Right? The children of the Cainite, Moshe's father-in-law, would came with Israel and lived with in Eretz Marim and Yericho together with the rest of the Jewish people, and then went down to Midbar Yehuda and settled together with the Judeans, with Bnei Yehuda in Midbar Yehuda, so, in beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Suddenly in Sefer Shmuel are back with Amalek. Is it the same people? Is it a different people? Is it a different part of the group of people? And add to that third, to those two points of the equation, the third point in the equation, which is Chever HaKeni Nifrad Mikain Vayet Olo Ad Elom B'Tzananim. This Chever HaKeni, constantly reference the fact that he's a Keni. This Chever HaKeni, who separated himself, moved all the way up north, separated himself from the rest of Bnei Kain. Where are the rest of Bnei Kain? So Radak says, the rest of Bnei Kain and Bnei Yehuda. Right? Because that's what the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. So he separates himself from the rest of Bnei Kain, from the rest of Bnei Kain, who are in Midbar Yehuda, to go and live where? To go and live up north with, for what purpose? So that there could be a peace treaty with Yavin Melech Chatzor. What are they doing with Yavin Melech Chatzor, who's a mortal enemy of the Jewish people? How did the Chever HaKeni come to be a mortal enemy of the Jewish people? That's where I think the Chazal were trying to point to a pattern that's very disturbing. A pattern that would put these Keni with Bnei Yehuda as they go and conquer the south, with Amalek as they constantly fight in Israel and are taking over the southern region of Israel step by step, and aligned with Yavin Melech Chatzor in the north, when Yavin Melech Chatzor is a mortal enemy of the Jewish people. And the pattern that emerges is the pattern that the Medrash describes poetically. What's the Medrash's description poetically? Who's sitting around Paro's council? Yitro, and Amalek. But Yitro has a change of heart. What's motivating his change of heart?
After he sees what happened to Amalek?
When he sees what's happened to Amalek. Medrash 1. Medrash 2. Yitro is in Amalek's army. Right? He realizes these two Midrashim historically can't work together.
Right.
Okay. So Medrash 2. Yitro is a captain in Amalek's army. When does Yitro change his mind and join ranks of the Jewish people?
When Amalek
loses the battle. You understand the pattern? The pattern that they're trying to describe is not the pattern of Yitro's behavior. Yitro is a symbol. It's the paradigm of the Keni behavior, which is?
Let's go where the wind blows us.
Right. To go with truth. Every side looks like they're going to win. To be not neutral, but the ultimate flip-floppers.
The ultimate survivalist.
Or survivalist, depending on how you want to call them, right? Wherever it's the winning side. So today, Amalek is the winning side. We'll join forces with Amalek. Tomorrow, Amalek loses the battle. We'll join forces with Bnei Israel. Tomorrow, the day after, Shevet Yehuda is going to be in the driver's seat. We'll join Shevet Yehuda. 3 years later, Yavin Melech Hatzor is making war with Israel, and he's got the upper hand. So, Chever HaKeni separates himself from the rest of Cain, goes and he joins peace treaty with Yavin Melech Hatzor, sitting up there in the north.
What's so terrible? Every person wants to... Every tribe wants to survive.
Yes, but every once in a while you have to stake your, you have to have a backbone of some kind of ideology and conscience and opinion and identity.
So you're saying this is not a reflection on Yitro per se?
I'm saying that I don't believe the Chazal were trying to describe Yitro
because
in
Yitro
this way.
Really comes up smelling like a rose most of the time.
Correct. I do not believe the Chazal were looking at Yitro as a persona. What I think they were looking at was Yitro as the representative of the Keni. And again, Chazal do this a lot. They'll take a medrash they'll take text or story in one part of Tanakh and midrashically superimpose it somewhere else.
So they're just basically characterizing this tribe at having
right.
a certain.
And Yitro is the persona that represents that tribe. So it's easier to do it with Yitro. You can midrashically tell stories about Yitro. You can't midrashically tell stories about the Keni. So it's a methodology of midrash. But I think the Chazal were actually talking more about the... It's my intuition. I can't tell you for sure. But my intuition is that Chazal were talking less about Yitro than about the Keni and the fact that they're always in the wrong place. They're always with... They're described very beautifully. They're very praiseworthy. They with the chesed with Bnei Yisrael. Remember, it's not a different group. Shaul, when he says to the Keni who's sitting in Amalek, separate yourself from Amalek, it's not a different group. He's talking about the fact that their ancestors were kind to Bnei Yisrael. Their ancestors are the ones who left with Israel. They're the ones that Yitro came, and I assume that when Yitro came, he didn't come alone. Because it says Mimbinei Keni, the whole entourage, the whole tribe. I suspect that together with all the other Erev Rav, when Yitro showed up at the doorstep, together with Tzipora and her children, following him were the rest of his family or tribe of Keni. And the whole tribe comes marching at the door and saying, hey, we're here, and great. And Moshe accepts them, he doesn't accept them, he sends them home, he doesn't send them home, whole confusion. But at the end, they come to Eretz Yisrael, and they settle in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Bnei Keni, we're not talking about one person or two people, we're talking about an entire small tribe.
So do you believe that whole tribe went back and forth? Because if
the
that's
issue
the way...
of whether they went back and forth in Chumash is less my concern. I have no idea what they did in Chumash, it's too confusing. But it doesn't matter. There's no question that they... At the end, they come with them to Eretz Yisrael, because it says so in Sefer Shoftim. There's a group of them that come and settle in Eretz Marim. Then they settle in the south in the area of Midbar Yehuda. Then they're settling in with Amalek, which is very strange. But on that time of Shaul, Amalek is the upper hand. So to go from Yehuda down to Amalek, not so hard. Then, several years later, or earlier, they're... At least some of them are sitting up there in the north together with Yavin Melachatzor. I don't think Chevra was alone. And it's that kind of identity swap that Chazal were trying to pinpoint. Let me add one postscript. Where does the word Kain come from?
Is it from
Kain?
Oh, so there are a group of people like Canaanites and Amorites and Chittites and Chivites and Amalekites and right. But if the word Kayin or Keni may be less a lineage identity as much as a character identity. Because what is identified with Kayin? What's essentially the trait of Kayin? Not personality trait, but legacy trait. What's Kayin's legacy? Right. Na v'nad tiyeh ba'aretz. You will be a wanderer in the land. Right. What's the mark of Cain? That he will wander the globe. He will wander the earth. So you describe somebody as a Caini when you are describing them as a wanderer or nomad. That's what this group is. That's what Yitro was. It was a group of wanderers. They were nomadic. They were nomadic tribes. And that's where they're with Amalek, because Amalek is also another nomadic tribe. So the word Keni could be referred to a particular tribe of these various character nomadic groups, Amalek, and that's why they're so connected to Amalek, because they share that characteristic, that we don't necessarily have a family lineage to them other than the one that comes from Yitro. But that group of nomads that descend, that came with Yitro, they're now called Keni. They may never be, that's our term for them, nomads. Keni, Navina. So that would explain the context of who they are, where they are, and how they come to have this alliance with Yavin Melech Hatzor. What we haven't done is looked at Yael. So all of this is about Chever. All of this has been about Chever, and about Yitro, and about Keni, and about the tribe, and about who they are, and the background. And now in the against all of that background, we now have the real challenge, which is to look at Yael and ask two fundamental questions. When Chever moves from the rest of Kayin down in the south, who at this point are still loyal to Bnei Yisrael, and he moves up north, wanders, part of the characteristic of Keni, right? Wanders all the way up north in order to make an alliance with Yavin, where is Yael's loyalty? Who is Yael? And where are her loyalties? That's the question we have to ask, and that's Bezrat Hashem, the question we will address in
2 weeks.
Oh, I'll be six of the seven. Oh, I'll be.